Come, let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout aloud to the rock of our salvation. Welcome to the weekly sermon podcast of the Cape Elizabeth Church of the Nazarene in Cape Elizabeth, Maine. Download more sermons or learn about the Cape Elizabeth Church of the Nazarene at our website, capenazarene.org. Here's this week's message.
Read for you today from Luke chapter 17 and starting at verse 5 going to verse 10. This is another kind of story, a parable of Jesus, if you will. Really an illustration of faith after they ask about how many times they have to forgive people. And he says, pretty much every time. They said, apostle said to the Lord, increase our faith. And he replied, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can say to this mulberry tree, be uprooted and planted in the sea, and it'll obey you. And suppose one of you has a servant plowing or looking after the sheep. Will he say to the servant when he comes in from the field, come along now and sit down to eat? Won't he rather say, prepare my supper, get yourself ready and wait on me while I eat and drink, and then after that you may eat and drink. Will he thank the servant because he did what he was told to do? So you also, when you have done everything you were told to do, should say, we are unworthy servants, we have only done our duty. We have read quite a few kind of unusual passages today. Usually the passage about the mustard seed is one that I've always heard about, kind of this, you have faith that's good enough, and if only it could grow to be so much more. A mustard seed that starts so tiny and grows to be this large tree. A mustard seed, if you would, there was a picture of it with a person holding it. It's like the size of a strawberry seed. It's tiny, 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 tiny. But it is this way of talking about how the faith that we have, God can still use it. The passage of scriptures we read earlier today were some pretty serious ones. These passages of scriptures were ones that were given to me from a collection of scriptures that are shared with churches throughout the year called the lectionary. And I decided to preach from that for this time because sometimes I like to do that in between series because it helps make sure important passages of scripture aren't skipped. As the lectionary kind of works through pretty much about 95% of the scriptures. And what I found interesting is that this passage, when related with the words that we read earlier today, is talking about faith that is perhaps small because of the struggles that one has faced. From the psalm we read about a cry out to God, even though the enemies have surrounded them and have carried them off into exile in a foreign land, and all they want to do is escape and kill their enemies and even their enemies' children. And it is this kind of like very morbid psalm. But it's a psalm that comes out of the depth of longing and the depth of despair and hatred and all kinds of just hoping that God will do something new and big in a life that has been struggling. And even in Lamentations, I mean, there's an entire book dedicated to lament, to praying out of the woes that we have experienced in life. And so, in this context, Jesus says, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you can uproot trees and you can move mountains. I've had an opportunity to meet some people who have had faith, even that small or larger, despite the hurdles that they have had to go through. A lady in my church who had faith and exercised that faith even though her life had been filled with instances of torture. In my first church, there was a guest speaker that was going to be at Illinois State University, where I was pastoring in a nearby town for that college. And they advertised that they were going to have a special speaker come in. A guy who was the author of a best-selling novel called Night. His name, Elie Wiesel. A man who had survived as a child through the Holocaust. And he had spoken at length and written several books, and the one that most people knew was his book, Night. And he had explained the horrors of what he had gone through. And I thought, this is a unique opportunity for me. I'm going to do everything I can to attend that lecture and attend that speech. And I did, and there was a little Q&A time afterwards as well. And what someone from the audience asked Elie Wiesel, he said, you are someone who has kept your faith, someone who through this ordeal still, call yourself a Jew and call and still refer to God and still, you know, you have this faith. Can you tell me how this affected your faith or something? How this event has changed or affected your thoughts and about God? And he looked at that audience member and the entire audience, and I remember he said, "Oh, my faith is a wounded faith. A wounded faith." And those words have stayed with me. He's someone who very clearly said, "This is my experience." And when trying to come to terms with my experience and my understanding of God, it is very hard to do. And so the best I can say is my faith is a wounded faith. I think his just frankness, his willingness to say how much he has struggled, how much he has questioned, and how much he has doubted at various times, it was so very, very important. For I think all of us experience those same kind of doubts, even though we have not experienced in the same way and to the same extent that he has the experiences that he suffered through. And Jesus says to us, if you have faith, even this small as a mustard seed, big things can happen. It is, I think a lot of times in our narrative, in our understanding of life, we like our heroes to know their convictions, be firm on their convictions, to stand on those convictions, and that's it. I think I could watch an action movie, and almost all of them, the hero is a person who stands on their convictions, who stands on their morals, who stands on their principles, and you know very early they're the good guy. In fact, part of the catalyst, part of the struggle in the movie is all the ways in which this very good guy is tempted to do something very wrong. But yet the hero triumphs and with his firm convictions and with his knowledge of staying true to who he is or who she is, they're able to overcome. That is the theme I see a lot of times in shows I see. We like our people who say, this is what I know, this is what I believe, I have it, and that's it. There's no wavering, there's no doubts, there's no concerns. But yet, I don't think that is often our life. I don't think that is often our experience. I think that's part of the reason why the disciples are concerned when they say, Jesus, how often do we got to forgive someone? And he says, all the time. And he says, well, then increase our faith. Because they know that they want people who will just stay firm to those convictions, who will be able to say, this is what I know, this is what I believe, and I'm not wavering, and I'm not doubting, and I'm just going to go there. I'm not going to make those mistakes. But Jesus says, faith as small even as a mustard seed is going to make a big difference. That faith as small as a mustard seed is a faith that is wounded on the one hand. It is also a faith that recognizes that people often live their lives in a way where they struggle with that faith and they struggle with that convictions, and forgiveness is going to have to be readily at hand. So he continues on and talks a little bit about that struggle with faith, that struggle of what happens when things are hard. And he gives the strangest illustration, the illustration of a master and a servant who go out to work, and they both come in from work, but the master is going to be able to say to the servant, well, how about you make the meal for me because I'm tired, even though the servant is tired. And he uses that as an example of continuing on in the faith. It's kind of like as parents, when you come home from work and you're tired and you just want to sit back and relax and you just want to take a breath and put your feet up and calm down for a moment, but if your kids come up to you and say, Mom, Dad, I'm hungry, you still got to make dinner, right? That's a part of how it is. I still remember when I was in seminary, and Eric is this little infant, and seminary for me was going to school morning and afternoon and studying in the morning and afternoon as well. I took about 12 credit hours, and the rule of thumb was for full time was an hour of class time, and for every hour of class time, there's 3 hours at graduate level, 3 hours of reading and research and writing that have to take place. So for 12 hours, it's 36 hours outside of class of reading, research, 48 hours. Yep, that's a full-time load. And our professors love sticking to that model. They poured on the work. And so I would work at full-time as a student. I had a part-time job in the evening. I worked at the Nazarene Publishing House, is what it was called then. Now it's the Foundry. And my job was to back up the servers of all the orders. So if anything glitched, if computers crashed, if they lost anything, if I backed things up every day, the worst they were out was 24 hours of orders. They could not afford to lose records and orders for a week or a month or anything like that. Because if there was a catastrophic event, that would be too much money lost. And so every night I would go in and I would back up. So about from 5 o'clock to about 11 o'clock, I would work there as well. As long as everything went well. If there was any problems, maybe I was there until 1 o'clock. But most of the time I was done by 11 o'clock. And so then I'd come home from work. It'd be about 11:30 at night. Jen would have already put Eric to bed, and she would have already been to sleep because she was getting up just a little bit earlier than me for her job. And I would go crash and to wake up in the morning as well. But we had this rule. Eric did not sleep through the night. He did not want to do that at all. And so knowing that I had only been in bed for a couple hours, I told Jen, you know, we worked this out. If he wakes up at all through the night before 2 o'clock in the morning, I'll get up with him. I'll give him the bottle. I'll tuck him back in. You sleep. You get your rest, and I'll take care of that. And if he ever got up after 3 o'clock in the morning, because Jen was getting up in the next couple of hours, she would just get up early, and she'd take care of him, and if she could go back to bed, so be it. So anything after 3 o'clock was hers. Anything before 2 o'clock was me. And 2 o'clock to 3 o'clock was that whole, you know, your turn, or I'm pretending I'm asleep kind of thing. And so we never could figure out that hour. But other than that, we were set. But he would wake up just about every night, and that happened for 6 months. I had asked my when I was in school. You know, we are newly married. We are just doing whatever we can to get by and paying for school. And so we did not have money for a babysitter. And so I asked one of my professors. I said, "Can I bring Eric with me to class? He's newborn. He was born late in the year. It's a new semester and." And so he's going to sleep most of the class, you know. When he wakes up, if I give him a bottle, he'll fall back asleep. After all, he's not sleeping at night. So, you know, he's going to be tired. Can I bring him to class with me? And he said, yes, that'd be fine. And so we did that. And I remember one day in class, we're sitting there, and I've got him, he wakes up. I got him in the crook of my arm. I'm feeding him a bottle so that, you know, he'll be quiet and he'll get the bottle and he'll probably fall back asleep because he's only a couple months old, he's 6 months old at this point in time. But the teacher's teaching, so I'm trying to take notes and feed him a bottle. So I got this bottle tucked under my chin. I'm holding it like this, holding him, and I'm trying to take notes like this. And it's just this comic scene. Anyway, the teacher ends up asking us how we're doing on a particular assignment. And the student sitting right next to me, just to my left, watching me do this, he says to me, "Hey, I got a lot done this morning. The weirdest thing happened. I went to bed, and I, for whatever reason, I woke up at like 3 o'clock in the morning and couldn't fall back asleep. And so I got out the project, and I started working on it. Worked on it for like 2 hours. Then it's 5 o'clock in the morning. I went back to bed and slept for a couple hours and woke up, and for whatever reason, I feel rested enough, and I got some work done in the middle of the night. How about that? I woke up with less work to do. This was amazing." He says, "I kind of wonder if I could continue doing this and feel like I'd gotten a jump start on my day and still feel rest. In fact, I wonder how long I could do this for," he said. And I looked at him, baby in arm, bottle under chin, baggy eyes, and I said, "About 6 months." Because I was spent. But this is just what you do as parents. After you're done with work, after you're done doing what needs to be done, if there's something else that has to happen, you take care of what you need to take care of. And so this story that Jesus gives about the master and the servant coming in is basically this, is that even when things are hard and you don't know how much longer you can possibly last, even when things are difficult, that God says, "Hey, if you'll just have that little bit of faith, even when it seems like you're spent, even when it seems like there's nothing left, God is going to be able to do some big things and move mountains and move trees for you." In this story, I look back on that and I can laugh. And I just remember I had never experienced exhaustion as much as I experienced at that time in my life. And I can look back on that and see indeed the ways in which God blessed, the ways in which God increased my faith, and the ways in which God moves. And wherever we are today, to know that Jesus looks at us and says, even when we are at our weariest, even when we are ready to give up hope, even when we are lamenting what is happening in our world or in our lives, Jesus does not say, oh, come on, why can't you believe more? Jesus doesn't say, oh, come on, pick yourself up, or you should have never failed in this way or that way. Jesus just looks at his disciples who are saying, how do we continue to go through life when we are made weary by what is happening around us? And he just says, if you have faith the size of a mustard seed, God's going to do some big things. And so here we are as well, wherever we are. Whether it is a kind of a weariness in faith, a weariness of life, or a kind of woundedness because of things in the past, to know that God has said, that little bit of faith is enough. When I look at the stories of Scripture, one of the things I'm encouraged by is the heroes of the faith are not depicted the same way that the heroes in our movies and our world are often depicted. They are an incredibly flawed people. All the heroes of the faith, Moses, David, Paul, Peter, they are severely flawed people, and their flaws are laid out for us. And yet, God does amazing and big things through them. And so where we are as well, we can get lost, we can get bogged down, we can get depressed by about the ways in which perhaps we haven't measured up to how we think we ought to. But yet, God says, if you have just a little faith. It's one of the reasons why I'm kind of glad in the Nazarene church we don't have saints. We don't have people that we hold up as some big paragon of virtue, because we just recognize that God works in the ordinary. And God works with just the little bits of faith. And that we can take our lessons and we can take our examples from those who among us are living the best that we can in terms of trying to follow God day in and day out. And yes, those who have been great models for us, we can still learn from and emulate. But we recognize that God is at work in our lives, even in the midst of those hardest moments. And so today, as we continue in worship and go out into the next week, whatever comes our way, whatever stress or stressors, know that even in the day-to-day, our faith will still carry us through and God will be with us. For life is just one of those things where the newness of faith, the kind of excitement that comes with that first acceptance of who God is and what He wants to do with our life is awesome and great. I love holding on to that. But sometimes the way the days go is they just get a little mundane. Or the way the stressors come is things start to get difficult. And we start to say, oh man, where's that excitement? Where did that go? And Jesus says to us, if we hold on to that faith, even faith just as small as a mustard seed, God's going to do big things for us. And that part of our faithfulness to God is recognizing that even as we have worked for Him, that there might be yet a little more, a duty still set before us to honor God with our lives and to hold on to that and to know that our God is still with us. Our faith, whatever the stressors or whatever the wounds, is a faith that is enough for God to move on. And in a little bit, we'll come and we'll receive communion. And it is an example of a wounded faith. The faithfulness of a son given over to the mission of God, despite what people will do. And God will lift up that wounded one and offers us a new hope and a resurrection. And so this is a sacrament and a faith for those who have been wounded and for those who have said, oh, my faith is so small you can barely see it. And Jesus says, that's enough. Come and receive the grace.
Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Jesus Christ throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. We hope this sermon has encouraged you with the gospel of Jesus. More sermons are available online at our website, capenazarene.org. May God richly bless you as you serve him today.